محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. Please recite aloud salawat for Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Today, I would like to begin again by giving you all a third good news and glad tidings for your being here present in these gatherings. You may wonder how much goodness and how many glad tidings lie in wait for people who attend these gatherings. The answer is, you have come to a person who's going to give you innumerable blessings. The third good news and glad tidings that I want to give you is that every single moment that you spend here attending these majalis and remembering Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, every single moment is counted as a tasbih. And your presence here is considered ibadah. You may ask, how can I say that? It's not me who is saying this. This is what our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, is saying. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So in this narration, which is there in one of our authentic books, Usulul Kafi, he says, Nafasul mahmumi lana al-mughtammi li dhulmina tasbih. Every breath of a person who's aggrieved by our masaib, who feels sorrow in his heart when he sees the oppression that was meted out upon us, every breath of this person is tasbih. وَهَمُّهُ لِأَمْرِنَا إِبَادَةً. And his concern for our affairs, the affair of the Ahlul Bayt, the status of the Ahlul Bayt. A person is concerned, he feels sad in his heart that what happened to these great people in the history. This concern that we have, we all have, for the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, is ibadah. It's considered worship. So this is the great blessing that we have in our hands, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Hussein. Okay, now people ask, so this is one of the questions that people ask nowadays. People ask, what is Irfan? Who is a true Arif? And how do I reach different stations of Irfan? The discussion on Irfan, people have questions. The answer, my brothers and sisters, is very simple. Irfan is Karbala. True Arif, the most complete Arif, the most perfect Arif is Hussein. And the fastest way to reach and complete the stages of Irfan goes through Karbala, through Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. I know you'll ask, and this question will come to your mind, the fastest way. Yes, brothers and sisters, Hussein is the fastest way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a scholar in Qom. This incident is some 50 years ago from today. So there is this scholar in Qom. He is speaking, he is giving a speech in Masjid Imam Hassan al-Askari. So the famous mosque, you all know, the mosque attributed to our 11th Imam, he is giving a speech there. He is explaining the different narrations we have about the doors of Jannah. Okay. So we know that there are doors of Jannah and each door has a name. And he's one by one explaining for the people the different doors of Jannah. So one door is called Babu Sabr. Okay. So he's explaining that those people who are patient in their lives, when difficulties come, they bear these difficulties, they don't lose hope, he's explaining. Another door is Babu Shukr. Okay. So one by one he's explaining these different doors of Jannah and what they mean and what you have to do in this world to be able to enter paradise from this door. So as he's explaining these things, the discussion becomes a bit heavy, a bit difficult. One old man from the crowd stands up and he says that, look, what all you have said is right and correct. But a person like me, who's weak, who has so many mistakes, a person like me, who's grown old, these doors which you have mentioned for me are very difficult for me. As if you are saying that for me there is no door which will lead to Jannah. These things which you are telling me are difficult. I agree they're right. But you are telling me that I don't have a door to Jannah. Don't you have an easy door to Jannah? A door which will take me quickly to Jannah? So this old man poses this question to this scholar. He doesn't say anything. He finishes his speech, but this question is occupying his mind. His mind is occupied. He goes home. He's thinking that, what do I answer this person? What do I tell him? Which door should I recommend to him? It will be easy. So in the same state, when this scholar is thinking, on his desk, there is this book of narrations called Safinatul Bihar. It's one of our books of narrations. So without thinking, he grabs the book and randomly opens it. Just randomly. He's not thinking, his mind is occupied, he's thinking about this question. He grabs this book, he opens it, and this narration appears on the page. Inna al-Husayn babun min abwab al-Jannah. He opens and he sees this narration that indeed Husayn is a door from the doors of heaven. He says, I found the answer. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadi wa ali Muhammad. So he says, I found the answer. That if someone really, really wants to take a shortcut, a fast path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to enter through the door of Husayn. One of our very reputed scholars, Sheikh Jafar Shustari, one of our ulama, he has written a book called Khasa'isul Husayniya, a very famous, well-known book about Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. In this book he writes, and after he wrote this in his book, this expression became famous. So he says, I don't have time to read the actual Arabic, I'm just going to paraphrase it quickly and move on. So he says that according to the narrations and the teachings that we have, all the Imams are doors to the Jannah. All the Imams are door to the Jannah. But he says, Babul Husayni Awsa. But the door of Imam al-Hussein is wider. Then he says that all the Imams are Safinatun Nijah, they are the ark of salvation. Then he says, Lakin Safinatul Husayni Asra. But the ship of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is faster. So if anyone is looking for true irfan, true tawheed, original tawheed, as they say, a branded version of tawheed. Okay. So today you all know it's the modern day and age. Everyone likes to buy things which are branded. Okay. Why? Because they signify quality. Branded items. So you want to buy a car, you buy a good brand. You want to buy clothes, you buy a good brand. You want to buy shoes, you go for the branded shoes. Are you looking for a version of spirituality that is branded, that is approved, that is tried and tested? Come to Karbala. And the irfan and tawheed and spirituality in Karbala is so comprehensive that you don't need to go anywhere looking in search of spirituality. You'll find everything in Karbala. You want spirituality for young children? You have Irfan of Qasim in Karbala. Okay. I'm sure you all remember these sentences. They're very key sentences that we all should remember. What did Qasim say on the night of Ashura? When Imam al-Hussein asked him, كَيْفَ الْمَوْتِ إِنْدَكْ? How is death near you? What was his reply? أَحْلَى مِنَ Asr, sweeter than honey, because it's in your path, O Hussein. For every age and group, you have Irfan in Karbala. And we need to be really careful that we don't go after any other type of Irfan and spirituality. Why? Because one of these two things is going to happen. If I leave Hussein, and inshallah in the coming days I'm going to talk about more practical aspects of following Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. How do I take myself to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam based on the situation and the challenges we have today? So inshallah I'm going to talk about that. But if I leave Hussein, if I separate from Hussein, then either the dunya and its attractions are going to drown me, or I'll be sold fake versions of spirituality at a very high price. So these are the options if you leave Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. On one side there is dunya with its attractions that is waiting to grab you, to catch you. The ark of salvation are the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Okay. So this part which I'm going to recite right now is part of one of the du'as which it is recommended to recite in the month of Sha'ban. It's called Salawat Sha'baniya. It starts like this. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Please recite aloud salawat. It starts like this and then it says الفلك الجارية. You know who these Ahlul Bayt are? They are the ark of salvation. في اللجج الغامرة. In an extremely turbulent sea, this is the ship. يَأْمَنُ مَنْ رَكِبَهَا وَيَغْرَكُ مَنْ تَرَكَهَا. Whoever boards this ark of salvation is going to be saved. Whoever is behind, he fails to catch up with Hussein, it's very dangerous. There is a sea, there is a turbulent sea with dangerous waves, the sea of the hubbud dunya, love of the world, that can drown me. And if you escape from this, there are many, many fake versions of spirituality out there. I don't have time to go into the details, otherwise I would speak in detail about this topic itself. That is going to sell you a fake product for a very, very, very high price. If you are clever, you have to go for that branded and the original product. We can't go after the fake and duplicate products. And what's the price we pay if we go after wrong leaders, wrong ideas? The price is very high. What's the price? The price is your nafs, your soul, your akhirat, your time. Let me read this verse of the Quran that is trying to tell us what is the value of a human being. It's a very important question. How do I value myself? What's my price? What price tag should I put on myself? So this verse of the Holy Quran, it says that on the Day of Judgment, those people who would have failed in this world and who were unable to benefit from the blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, and who were unable to reach the goal which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had described for them, it says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ لِكُلِّ نَفْسٍ ظَلَمَتْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لَفْتَدَتْ بِهِ. On that day, a soul which has failed will say that I'm ready to sacrifice everything that is there on the earth so I could be saved from the punishment of the Day of Judgment. Human soul is extremely valuable. It can't be sold at a low price. This world is too low a price for human soul. A human being can't afford to sell his true life for this transient world that he has. Now I want to narrate a very beautiful narration that we have from Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Look, he's trying to give me my price. Amirul Mu'mineen is trying to tell me, look, this is your price. He says, لَيْسَ لِأَبْدَانِكُمْ ثَمَنٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. So he said, look, your body has no price except the paradise. And then the scholars explain that pay careful attention to the words of this narration. Imam is not saying this is your price. Imam is saying this is the price of your body. لَيْسَ لِأَبْدَانِكُمْ ثَمَنٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. He doesn't say لَيْسَ لِأَرْوَاحِكُمْ ثَمَنٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. He says your body. This is how much worth your body is. Settle for nothing less than paradise. Okay. So now you may ask, what's the price of my soul? What's the price of my soul? Let me take help from another verse of the Holy Quran. The same verse which was recited in the beginning and the first night. Okay. And you're all aware that every day before this program starts, these young boys, they come prepared and they're reciting verses of the Holy Quran with its translation and explanation which relate to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And it's a good way to start any of our gatherings with the recitation of the Holy Quran. This verse of the Holy Quran says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. This is the price. Okay. This is an amazing verse of the Holy Quran. Let me translate it for you. And amongst the men are those people who sell their nafs and in exchange by Allah's pleasure. This verse was revealed in the shan of Amirul Mu'mineen. So this is an amazing verse. Who's the seller? Amirul Mu'mineen. Who's the buyer? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is being sold? Nafs of Amirul Mu'mineen. What's the price tag? Allah's pleasure. Okay. What it means to acquire Allah's pleasure, I don't know. I just know that in the Holy Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes all the blessings of paradise, it stops and says, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. That's it. Doesn't explain. It says, look, in the paradise there are these blessings, جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, gardens, rivers flow underneath it, there are fruits, there are different types of blessings, all of this on one side, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. There is something higher there. But it doesn't explain, and it's difficult to explain, and it's difficult for me, a person like me, to understand what it means. So this is the price for a human being. And I mentioned that thing yesterday, that Imam al-Hussein is saying that if you settle for anything less than Allah's love, it's a big loss. خَسِرَتْ صَفْقَةُ عَبْدٍ. So we started this discussion about what does Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam want from us, from me, from you today. The answer was very simple. The answer is, he wants us to join him on this journey of Tawheed. Yesterday we talked about Tawheed of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So I gave a few examples of what is the level of Imam Hussein's Tawheed. Today I want to say that yesterday what I mentioned was the peak, was the highest a person can reach on this path of Tawheed, of this path of Irfan. It is not expected of us to reach that level. Look, Imam Hussein is Imam Hussein. His level is his level. No one can reach that level of Tawheed which Imam Hussein alayhi salam reached. He's very special. But the reason I mentioned these things was, I just wanted to show you the peak, the pinnacle, so that when I see the peak, and when I see that, oh, Imam al-Hussein is at that level, he's so high, it is hoped that it will create an inspiration in me to get closer to him, to start walking on this path. When I see that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam has sacrificed his everything in the path of Allah, it gives me this inspiration that look, when Imam al-Hussein can sacrifice everything, I'm sure I can sacrifice a little bit of my comfort, a little bit of my money, a little bit of my desires, a little bit of things I like, learning from Imam al-Hussein. So brothers and sisters, Tawheed has levels and stages. Not everyone is at the same stage. Tawheed means belief in one God, La ilaha illallah. But this simple sentence has a profound meaning to it. There are different levels of Tawheed. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Imam al-Hussein wants from me. That look, you are at one level of Tawheed, take a step further and try to become like me, come closer to me. So what are the levels of Tawheed? I'm not going to go into the discussion, I'm just going to name these different levels of Tawheed that have been described in the Holy Quran and the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Please recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So Tawheed means different things. It has different levels. The first level of Tawheed is you worship only one God. The next level of Tawheed is you ask help only from one God. Okay, and this is what we recite every day. Iyyaka na'bud wa iyyaka nasta'in. This is Tawheed. That you worship only one God and you seek help from only one God. You rely only on one God. فَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Tawakkul, only on Allah. You fear only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You hope only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last and the highest stage is you only love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than you love anything else. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ The true believers are those who love Allah more than other people do. My time is very quickly passing. So I'll just gather my discussion and inshallah we'll end. Please recite the salawat. I mentioned on day one that the path towards Tawheed passes through the battlefield of Karbala. So in our day-to-day lives as well, the path which we all have to take, it's something which you cannot choose. You are already here. You are already in the process of going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no choice right now. You are already here. You have to take steps towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaki. This is something which is already happening. You're already going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a time will come when you leave this world and at that point you'll meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the translation of the verse of the Holy Quran. I'm not adding something from my pocket. So when this is the case that I'm already on the journey, then my journey also goes through a battlefield. So you all remember the battle of Karbala, the Zahir of Karbala, two sides fighting against each other, the striking of swords, the falling of people, these great Hashemite princes from the horses, the difficulties and the pain in Karbala. This is one battle of Karbala. There's another battle going on in Karbala. But it's a battle which is behind the scenes. It's the batin of Karbala. And that's the battle of hearts. It's the battle of values. It's the battle of morals. And in this battle, yes, in the apparent battle that we have, if you see the Zahir of Karbala, Imam al-Hussein was martyred. He became shaheed. His family was killed. But if you see the hidden dimension, the batin of Karbala, where human values are fighting each other, you see that Hussein is the conclusive winner there. So what is this battle that I'm talking about? I'm very briefly going to introduce it and inshallah I'll continue the discussion tomorrow. So what is this battle? And this battle continues till today. It's the battle of values. It's the battle of akhlaq. It's the battle of morals. On one side you have Imam al-Hussein and his followers who signify all the good moral traits. Everything good is symbolized in Hussein and Ashabul Hussein and the family of Hussein. Every good thing can imagine. Truthfulness, bravery, detachment from the world, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, courage, firmness, steadfastness, ibadat, everything good you can imagine is gathered on one side, and on the other side, all the evil traits have gathered. Greed, love, excessive love of the world, lowliness, immodesty, lying, dishonor, dhillat, all these things you can see in the camp which is opposing Imam al-Husayn al-Islam. And this is the battle that rages in Karbala, and Imam al-Husayn al-Islam strikes a clear victory for goodness and akhlaq and good morals. And this is the battle that we face today. It's the battle of the hearts, whereby there are different forces and people trying to take control of your heart. Inshallah, I'll elaborate this tomorrow. That this battle is very serious, especially today in this modern world that we live. We call it the modern world. And if you see the reality of this modern world, which started from the 16th century Europe, the world we see today, the shape and the different things that we see around us, the technology, internet, social media, different things that we are surrounded by these things today, they started when something happened in Europe in 16th, in 15th century, Renaissance. A new civilization rises, shows itself. And those of you who know this civilization, they know that in its essence, a civilization was founded that was materialistic, which said that human being is this material dimension of his. A civilization which turned its back on religion. It says we don't need religion. Religion is outdated. We don't need it right now. A civilization that overemphasized the material side of the human beings. And given the fact that we live in a world like this, it creates a new set of challenges in front of us. New types of greed, new types of love of world come in front of us. Inshallah, I'll discuss this in detail tomorrow. Lekin ghabrane ki koi zarurat nahi hai. Kyun? Kyunki aaj bhi Hussain hamein najat dene ke liye hazir aur maujood hai. In tamam mushkilat ke bawajood. Shayad mere jo buzurg is majlis mein hazir hai, unke liye tasavvur karna shayad mushkil ho ke aaj ka jawan kis halat se guzar raha hai. Zamana tezi se badla hai. Har generation aur uske baad aane wali generation mein faasla bahut zyada ho gaya hai. Jitni tezi se technology ne aur technology ke natije mein mukhtalif cheezon ne development aur peshraft ki hai aur uske natije mein jo asar hamare jawanon par ho raha hai, shayad jo mere buzurg yahan par hazir hain unke liye تصور کرنا بھی مشکل ہو. یقین جان لیں کہ ایک جوان ایک الگ دنیا میں اپنی زندگی بسر کر رہا ہے, اس کی مشکلات الگ ہیں, اس کے چیلنجز الگ ہیں, لیکن ان تمام مشکلات کے باوجود, ان تمام پریشانیوں کے باوجود, کہ ہر لمحہ کوشش کی جا رہی ہے کہ اس جوان کے دل میں دھیرے دھیرے مٹیریلزم اور مادیت کو کوٹ کوٹ کر بھر دیا جائے. مہینوں سالوں محنت کی جاتی ہے کہ ایک کارٹون مووی بنائی جائے جس کے ذریعے چند پیغامات, چند ہڈن اور سٹل میسجز ان بچوں کے, ان نوجوانوں کے ذہنوں میں ڈالی جائے. لیکن ان تمام کوششوں کے باوجود جب یہ محرم کا مہینہ آتا ہے اور یہ ایام عزہ آتے ہیں اور ہم امام حسین علیہ السلام کا تذکرہ کرتے ہیں, اور اسی تذکرے کے درمیان امام حسین نے جن ویلیوز کے لیے اپنی قربانی دی ان کا تذکرہ کرتے ہیں, یہ تمام دشمن کی محنتیں ختم ہو جاتی ہیں. آج بھی امام حسین علیہ السلام ہمیں نجات دے رہے ہیں, ہمیں بچا رہے ہیں کہ ہر وہ انسان جو اس فرش عزا پہ آ جاتا ہے اور حسین کا تذکرہ سنتا ہے, حسین کے عرفان کو دیکھتا ہے, حسین کے اخلاق کو دیکھتا ہے, حسین کی توحید کو دیکھتا ہے, دنیا کی محبت اس کے دل سے ختم ہو جاتی ہے. اور یہ ہے حسین کا معجزہ. بعض لوگ ہیں وہ کہتے ہیں کہ اے کاش ہم اس زمانے میں ہوتے جس زمانے میں حضرت عیسیٰ مردوں کو زندہ کرتے تھے. جناب عیسیٰ کا معجزہ یہ تھا کہ وہ مردوں کو زندہ کرتے تھے. احیی الموتا باذن اللہ, خدا کے اذن سے مردوں کو زندہ کرتے. یہی معجزہ آج بھی ہو رہا ہے, حسین بھی مردوں کو زندہ کرتا. حسین اس ذات کا نام ہے جو مردہ دلوں کو زندہ کرتا. دیکھیں دل کے مرنے کے بہت سارے اسباب ہیں, بہت آسانی سے انسان کا دل غفلت کا شکار ہو جاتا ہے, مخصوصاً آج کی دنیا میں سوشل میڈیا ہے, انٹرنیٹ ہے, کام کاج ہے, بزنس ہے, مشکلات ہے, پریشانیاں ہے, اور کیا اور کیا اور کیا, انسان آسانی سے خدا کو بھول جاتا ہے. لیکن ایک محرم کو آنے دے, یہ تمام غفلت ختم ہو جاتی ہے. حسین مرے ہوئے دلوں کو زندہ کرتے ہیں, یہ ہے حسین کا معجزہ. صلی اللہ علیک یا ابا عبداللہ, صلی اللہ علیک یا باب نجات الامہ, صلی اللہ علیک یا رحمت اللہ الواسع. عزادارو, آج اس غم کے مہینے کی تیسری رات ہے. عزادارو, تیزی سے یہ ایام گزرتے جا رہے ہیں, دیکھتے ہی دیکھتے یہ ایام عزا ہمارے ہاتھ سے نکل جائیں گے, یقین جان لیں. بہت کم وقت باقی ہے ہمارے پاس. آئے اپنے آپ کو حسین کے قافلے کے ساتھ جوڑ لیں اور دیکھیں کہ اگر حسین کسی پر نظر کرم کرے تو اس کا مقدر بدل جاتا ہے. آئے ذکر مصیبت کو زہیر کے تذکرے سے شروع کریں. زہیر بن کین, کون ہے زہیر؟ دیکھیں مثال پیش کر رہا ہوں آپ کے سامنے ایسے انسان کی جو ہرگز حاضر نہیں تھا امام حسین کے ساتھ چلے, لیکن امام حسین نے ایسا کچھ کیا زہیر کے ساتھ کہ نہ صرف کربلا کے شہیدوں میں سے ایک شہید بنے بلکہ امام حسین کے لشکر کا کے ایک حصے کا انہیں سے پیسہ لار بنایا. کون ہے زہیر؟ زہیر عثمان کو ماننے والے ایک شخص ہے, امام حسین کو امام نہیں مانتے. کوفہ کے بڑے سردار ہے زہیر, کوئی عام آدمی نہیں ہے. جب امام حسین علیہ السلام کا قافلہ نکلا مکہ سے کربلا کی طرف تو زہیر کا قافلہ حج کو ختم کر کے کوفہ کی طرف واپس لوٹ رہا تھا. زہیر جانتے تھے کہ امام حسین کا قافلہ بھی نزدیک ہے. زہیر نے اپنی پوری کوشش کی کہ ایسی جگہ پر نہ رکے جہاں امام حسین رک جائے. کیوں؟ تاکہ امام حسین کا سامنا نہ کرنا پڑے. پسند نہیں کرتے تھے, تاریخ نے یہ جملہ لکھا ہے کہ پسند نہیں کرتے تھے کہ امام حسین سے ملاقات ہو. لیکن ایک منزل ایسی آئی, دیکھیں اس روایت کو جو میں نے آپ کے خدمت میں عرض کیا تھا کہ اگر خدا کسی بندے کے نسبت خیر چاہتا ہے تو اس بندے کو حسین سے ملا دیتا ہے. خدا کا ارادہ تھا کہ زہیر حسین سے مل جائے. یہ قافلہ ایک ایسی جگہ پر رکا جہاں پر حسین بھی رکے ہوئے تھے. زہیر اپنے خیمے میں بیٹھ کر کھانا کھا رہے ہیں, ہاتھ میں لقمہ ہے, حسین کا بھیجا ہوا سفیر آتا ہے اور کہتا ہے, اے زہیر, زہرا کے فرزند نے تمہیں بلایا ہے, تم سے بات کرنا چاہتے ہیں. تاریخ نے یہ جملہ لکھا کہ زہیر کا ہاتھ رک گیا, لقمہ ہاتھ میں ہے, زہیر کا ہاتھ رک گیا. تاریخ کا یہ جملہ ہے کہ اس طرح سے زہیر کی حالت ہو گئی کہ سر پر کوا بیٹھ گیا ہو, یعنی بالکل اپنی جگہ پر رک گئے, جواب نہیں دیا. زہیر کی زوجہ نے زہیر سے کہا, بڑا دردناک جملہ کہا, کہا کہ اے زہیر, زہرا کا لال تمہیں بلا رہا ہے اور تم سوچ رہے ہو, امام حسین تمہیں بلا رہے ہیں اور تم سوچ رہے ہو کہ میں جاؤں یا نہیں جاؤں. سبحان اللہ, جیسے زہیر نے یہ جملہ سنا, زہیر اٹھ کر امام حسین علیہ السلام کے خیمے میں پہنچ گئے. تاریخ نے نقل نہیں کیا کہ زہیر اور امام حسین کے درمیان کیا گفتگو ہوئی, کچھ نقل نہیں, بس یہ نقل کیا کہ جب زہیر چند منٹ کے لیے امام حسین علیہ السلام کے خیمے میں پہنچے, جب خیمے سے باہر آئے, تاریخ نے لکھا ہے کہ چہرے پر نور تھا, خوشی کا عالم تھا چہرے پہ. اپنی زوجہ کے پاس آیا اور کہا کہ لقد طلقتک, میں نے تجھے آزاد کیا, میں نے تجھے آزاد کیا, میں حسین کے ساتھ جا رہا ہوں. تو یہ ہے حسین, کہ اگر حسین کسی پر اپنی نظر کرم کرے تو اس کا مقدر بدل جاتا ہے. اسی لیے میں نے کہا سفینۃ الحسین اسرا, کہ حسین کے پاس جو کشتی نجات ہے وہ بہت جلدی انسان کو اپنے مقصد تک پہنچاتی. محرم کی تیسری رات ہے, بعض علاقوں میں رسم ہے کہ اس رات میں کربلا کی اس بچی کا تذکرہ کیا جائے. بس چند جملے مصائب کے اور آپ کی زحمت تمام. آئے اس رات میں مولا حسین کو واسطہ دے اس بچی کا, بی بی سکینہ کا, اور امام حسین سے کہے کہ اے مولا, اے میرے آقا حسین, آپ کو آپ کی اس 3 سال کی بچی کا واسطہ, آپ کو سکینہ کا واسطہ, کہ ہمیں بھی اپنے کاروان کے ساتھ جوڑ لے, ہمیں بھی اپنے کاروان سے ملا دے. چند جملے مصائب کے اور آپ کی زحمت تمام. بہت مصائب جھیلے ہیں اس بچی نے, 3 سال کی بچی, جن کے گھروں میں چھوٹی بچیاں ہیں وہ بہتر تصور کر سکتے ہیں کہ ایک باپ اور بیٹی کے درمیان کتنا محبت خرابتا ہوتا ہے, کتنی ایک بیٹی اپنے باپ کو چاہتی ہے اور کتنا ایک باپ اپنی بیٹی کو چاہتا ہے. اس بیٹی نے بہت مصیبتیں اٹھائی, کب سے اس بچی کی مصیبتیں شروع ہوئی. ہاں آزاداروں, 7 محرم سے اس بچی کی مصیبتوں میں اضافہ ہو گیا, جب اہل حرم پہ دشمنوں نے پانی بند کر دیا. آپ تصور کریں کہ بیابان کے جانوروں کو اجازت ہے کہ جائے پانی نوش کرنا ہے, لیکن آل رسول پر پانی حرام ہے. آزاداروں, کیا وقت آ گیا ہے کہ حسین کے خیموں سے آواز بلند ہو رہی ہے, الاتش الاتش, یہ آوازیں بلند ہو رہی ہے. آزاداروں, جب عاشور کا دن آیا, سکینہ پیاسی ہے, سکینہ پیاسی ہے, جب جناب عباس آئے اجازت مانگنے کے لیے, تو مولا حسین نے عباس سے کہا کہ اے میرے عباس, دیکھو یہ بچے بہت پیاسے ہیں, میری سکینہ بہت پیاسی ہے, جاؤ اور ان بچوں کے لیے پانی لے کر آ جاؤ. سکینہ منتظر ہے, اجرکم اللہ, سکینہ دیکھ رہی ہے کہ کب میرے چچا عباس پانی لے کر آئیں گے. کافی وقت گزر گیا, دیکھا کہ امو عباس چچا عباس نہیں آ رہے. اپنے بابا سے پوچھا کہ اے میرے بابا, میرے چچا عباس کہاں ہے؟ امام حسین نے کوئی جواب نہیں دیا, عباس کے خیمے میں گئے, امو نے خیمہ کو گرا دیا, یہ خیمہ زمین پر گر گیا. سب لوگ متوجہ ہو گئے کہ عباس ابا کی نہیں رہے, عباس شہید ہو گئے. اجرکم اللہ. بس آخری جملہ مصائب کا, ہاں یہ بچی نے بہت مصائب سہے ہیں, اس بچی نے بہت مصائب جھیلے کہ جب امام حسین علیہ السلام پہنچے ہیں آخری ودا کرنے کے لیے, کہ بعض علماء نے لکھا ہے کہ سب سے سخت منظر کربلا کا امام حسین کا ودا ہے اہل حرم کے ساتھ. تمام اہل حرم نے امام حسین علیہ السلام کو گھیر لیا. یہ چھوٹی بچی اپنے بابا کے پاس آتی ہے, بابا کے دامن کو تھام لیتی ہے اور اپنے بابا سے کہتی ہے, یا ابتی ارجعنا الى مدینہ جدنا. اے میرے بابا, اے میرے بابا, ہمیں مدینہ واپس لے جانیے, آپ کے بعد نامحرموں کا مجمع ہوگا, ان وحشی درندوں کا مجمع ہوگا. امام حسین خیمے سے باہر نکلتے ہیں, گھوڑے پر سوار ہوتے ہیں, کربلا میدان کربلا کا رخ کرتے ہیں, جانے کی کوشش کرتے ہیں, دیکھتے ہیں کہ زلزلہ اپنی جگہ سے نہیں حرکت کر رہا ہے. اپنے گھوڑے سے کہا کہ اے زلزلہ, تو میرا بہت با وفا گھوڑا ہے, تو کیوں نہیں چاہتا میدان کربلا میں جائے؟ اس گھوڑے نے کوئی جواب نہیں دیا. امام حسین نے دیکھا کہ ایک 3 سال کی بچی گھوڑے سے لپٹی ہوئی ہے. امام حسین علیہ السلام گھوڑے سے اترتے ہیں, اس 3 سال کی بچی کو اپنی آگوش میں لیتے ہیں, اس بچی کو پیار کرتے ہیں. جب اس کی حالت کو سکینہ دیکھتی ہے تو بلند آواز میں رونا شروع کرتی ہے. یہاں پر امام حسین ایک بڑا دردناک جملہ بیان کرتے ہیں, کہتے ہیں, یا سکینہ لا تحرکی قلبی, اے سکینہ اس طرح گریہ نہ کرو, تمہارا بابا تمہاری اس حالت کو نہیں دیکھ سکتا. سکینہ کو خدا حافظ کیا, میدان کربلا میں پہنچے, اپنی شہادت کو پیش کیا. آزاداروں, یہ گھوڑا واپس آتا ہے, خیمے کے نزدیک آتا ہے, بلند آواز میں گریہ شروع کرتا ہے تاکہ اہل حرم کو یہ خبر دے سکے کہ ہاں حسین شہید ہو گئے. یہ بچی باہر آتی ہے, یہ بچی باہر آتی ہے, اپنے بابا کے گھوڑے سے پوچھتی ہے, یا جواد آبی, یا جواد آبی, اے میرے بابا کے گھوڑے, مجھے بتا, ہائے سکی آبی, کیا میرے بابا کو پانی دیا گیا؟ ان قتلوا عطشانا, یا نا, میرے بابا کو تشنا لب شہید کر دیا گیا. سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون انا للہ و انا الیہ راجعون. ماتم حسین.